That was Ripley King. You know that voice, don't you? B.B. King, as we call him. Born in this day in Benham, Mississippi. The great blues singer B.B. King. We'll be hearing more of him. Lucille, one of his most famous songs. He was born on this day in 1925. The great B.B. King. One of the great blues men of all time. Still jamming in his 80s and has his own radio station on Sirius. And B.B., happy birthday, B.B. King. Hope we have many, many more. So we now jump into our conversation, in a very serious conversation it is. When we saw what happened this week with Adrian Peterson, as indicted in Texas on charges of abuse. His four-year-old son was, he beat him with a switch that he took off the tree, but he had scarring around his genitals and his legs and his arms. Last year, the same thing happened with him, apparently, with another son. Who was beaten, and there was a text thing going back and forth. Mother asking what happened, and he said he hit his head in the car seat, and she said, did you whip him in the car? He said, yes, but if he had stood still, this wouldn't have happened. Right. And so it raises a lot of issues, and I think this raises very complex issues. The question of corporal punishment, is it child abuse? Spanking, is it justified? Almost every culture that I've been examining on the planet has some form of spanking in its culture. And severity differs from culture to culture, but I think in many, and this is not an indictment of our religions, but in many of the major monotheistic cultures of the planet Earth, spanking is justified by what people read in their Bibles and the Quran and other places. And so that is part of what we're looking at. So it's a very complex subject. Some people look at it as something that is part of how we control society. It's always been through beatings and whippings and public whippings of people, not just in terms of slavery, but clearly that is a major factor in all of this. And so it does raise a lot of questions that I think we have to grapple with. And there have been studies put out about different cultures in America and the rates of spanking and corporal punishment in those cultures. Does it leave deep psychological scars, as some studies have indicated? Is it a form that is justified? Well, we're going to kind of wrestle with that with all of you at 410-319-8888. Encourage you to write to us at talk@steinershow.org. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. There's a tweet that just came in, and as soon as I see the tweet again, I'll read those tweets that come over the air to us. And also, you can log on to our Facebook page. It's 410-319-8888. We have one of our stellar panels with us, people who join us often, but they often have very deep things to say. Dr. Kay Whitehead, of course, is with us once again. She's an assistant professor of communication and affiliate assistant professor of African and African-American studies at Loyola University, Maryland, author of Notes from a Colored Girl, The Civil War Pocket Diaries of Emily Frances Davis. And tomorrow night at 7 p.m.,
you'll be 6:30 p.m.
I'll be at the Enoch Pratt Library. Pratt Library
downtown.
So, and I thought we were going to actually interview her before that, but that was our mistake. But we'll have her on soon.
Excellent.
For that conversation.
Thank you.
Because it's a wonderful book. Dr. Lawrence Brown is with us, a political activist and public health consultant, assistant professor of public health here in the School of Community Health and Policy at Morgan State University. And Dr. Lester Spence, Center for Emerging Media Scholar in Residence, associate professor of political science and Africana studies at Johns Hopkins University, author of Stare in the Darkness, The Limits of Hip-Hop and Black Politics, and in the middle of a new book right now. Good to have the three of you with us.
Thank you.
Morning.
Thank you.
You all can join us at 410-319-8888. Please do. We want to hear your thoughts. This is a very intense subject, and I just, you know, and I've been just so much out here on this, and I just want to get our reading on this, on your readings first. And let me begin with the first, the only non-parent in the room. To start the conversation off, Lawrence Brown, which you will be a parent, I can tell.
Well, you know, growing up, I was the oldest of four children, so I was the third parent oftentimes. I had the power to spank my brothers and sisters. I have nieces and nephews, and I've wrestled with this for quite some time. Having been, as we call it in my community in the South, been whooped plenty of times, you know, sometimes quite viciously. And I guess I wonder about this argument that, you know, well, I turned out all right. You know, I think that's often the defense that's thrown up. And certainly somebody could say, well, look, you have a PhD, you know, you're a professor at Morgan State. You know, it looks like you've turned out all right. But as it turns out, I know that there are anger issues that I have to deal with. I have to deal with even when children, I'm dealing with my nieces and nephews, the temptation not to pick up a belt, a switch or something, because I'm beginning to question, or have questioned for the past 3 or 4 years, the efficacy of spanking and also the data around it. Does it really work? And so when they've come to visit me over the past few summers, I've actually refrained from spanking them. The temptation is still there because that was the culture I was rooted in. But the data, I think, are beginning to be quite clear that it's not effective. It slows the cognitive development of the brain. The release of cortisol has some negative effects with children. And ultimately, do you want to teach children that fear and violence are the ways to handle conflict and misbehaving?
Okay, let me turn to you, mother of two sons.
Yes, I have a 13-year-old and 11-year-old, and a lot of the work that I've been doing lately is in a series called Letters to My Teenage Sons, where I have been writing them letters for years, marking their progress, things that I'm struggling with. And this is an issue that is very difficult for me. I actually almost for the first time didn't want to come on the Mark Steiner Show, as much as I love being on the Mark Steiner Show, because I grew up, my father is a Southern Baptist minister, and punishment was routinely meted out in our home. I was spanked. Or whooped, as people say, probably on a weekly basis. I was a very, very defiant child. And for me, it came down to a battle of the wills. So many times I would go into the spanking saying, they are not going to break me, that I'm going to come out of this spanking.
Consciously, as a little girl, you thought that?
It happened. Maybe around 8 years old. I keep my journals. Uh-huh. And I go back and I read my journals from when I was 8, 9 years old. Wow. And it wasn't, of course, as thought out as it would be today, but it was, I'm not going to be broken. How long can I go before I cry? And it went on. Out of my four siblings, maybe it was because I was so defiant. I always had something to say. I felt that pieces of me were being affected. I also came from a home where it was okay for other people to spank us, whether that included uncles or aunts. I would spend every summer in South Carolina, and if we got in trouble, whoever came home had the ability to spank us. So with that in mind, I think about the argument, as the previous guest said, did I turn out okay? And what does okay mean? Like, how do I define being okay? It did not slow my cognitive development, but there have been where I can point to moments in my life where I've had issues around self-esteem, where I've had issues around anger. I am now co-parenting two boys along with my husband, a 13-year-old and 11-year-old, and I wrestle with this idea of spanking. My children can tell you many times I've said to them, step back far enough, because if I can't reach you or grab you, then I'm not going to hit you. So make sure that with mommy, and that became my trigger, you know, step back, because I'm not going to get up and go get you. But if you are right here and you do something, I may grab your arm. Now, of course, at 5'9 and 5'7, I'm not grabbing them today. But I'm talking about when they were in those years, not 4 years old like Adrian Peterson's son, which is just offensive and illegal. I'm talking about the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds when they are just trying to test the boundaries, and you're trying to figure out when you can reason with them on one hand, but they want to push it on the other hand, which has nothing to do with race. It really has to do with your own particular parenting style, which I still wrestle with today. There are days when I think, okay, how does this thing work out? How is it going to turn out? And I want to say, going into this conversation, at 13 and 11, my boys are healthy. They are smart. They are extremely polite. They're very respectful. And there are times when I have spanked them. So it'll be interesting as we talk about that and how I've had to kind of come to terms with spanking versus abuse. Is there a line or is there no line? That whenever you grab a child and pop them on the hand, should you be stopped? I'm not talking about pulling switches down from the tree like I had to do as a child. Go pick your switch, and if you don't pick one big enough, then I was told to go back and pick another one, and that one would be tied to it. So there are different levels and extremes.
Let's just Spence.
You know, when I was first asked to be on the show, I don't necessarily... On the one hand, I kind of don't really have expertise, you know, formal expertise to talk about this, but I have kind of informal expertise, I guess, because I'm the parent of five. I just think that this is a very complicated issue, and there are a number of people on both sides who are using their personal experience in order to kind of justify their stances. And given that what we're talking about, the issue that brings this up is the issue of the police being involved in our home and basically regulating how we deal with our kids, I think the issue is a really serious one. And we're talking about black people, right? I mean, so in both this case with Adrian Peterson and in the really, really tragic case of Ray Rice, we have black male bodies becoming kind of the key image used to kind of talk about these issues. And we know that when black bodies tend to be used in issues like this, it tends to generate a really visceral negative response, and it tends to generate a kind of a desire for punitive responses for domestic violence, which is actually straightforward, but also for against corporal punishment. So really quickly, to bring it back to my own personal experience, I have both been corporal punishment was used on me as a child, and I used corporal punishment on all five of my children. I didn't do so solely because it was done to me. I didn't do so. I did so because I thought the circumstances dictated it. But as I think about it again broadly, it's like it's more complicated than just saying, "Oh, it was done to me. We should do it," or because it was done to me, it was horrible and should never be done.
I think it's something for us to wrestle with. I mean, it's the idea that even with the Ray Rice situation, which of course was a horrible situation, is very straightforward. I do think there are two sides to that. One is that you have this very private moment between a couple that has been videotaped and then shown without their permission, which talks about privacy issues on a lot of different levels. But two is raising this greater discussion that Janae Rice then becomes this chasm that we use to talk about this bigger issue of domestic violence. With Adrian Peterson, it is calling into question, how are our children being treated? How are you raising your own children? So it's causing the question, personal questions that you ask yourself. Was it done to me? Does it make it right? Should I do it to my own children? Why am I even doing it? It's making people think about it, even beyond the idea of black bodies, which I do agree with. I think this is a bigger issue, and it does go beyond kind of the black face, although the black face is what's used in this instance to heighten the awareness of this issue. I think these are concerns that as a society, we should be talking about domestic violence. We should be talking about how we are treating our children. Adrian Peterson's son is not 12 years old. He's a four-year-old boy. And in that instance, if the police have to be involved to protect the rights of the child, then they should, even against the parent.
Let me open the phones and hear what listeners are thinking. And a lot of really very sensitive and important issues are being raised here. And 410-319-8888 with your thoughts. Wayne in Westminster, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I, too, was physically abused as a child by my parent, he would when he first started, it was a rifle strap he would use. It was big and wide. Okay, I couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 at the time, and then he got a very long, slim nylon belt, which left horrible welts. But that wasn't the worst. The worst was an extension cord rolled up a few times, you know, the type that you would use for a lamp, nice and thin. He would roll that up a few times and just beat the living heck out of us. Yeah, I was one of seven, six boys, and, you know, we all got it the same. Mm. And, you know, I have a son that I, you know, I knew when I was being beaten, that it was wrong. And I never beat my son anything ever, like anything like what I got. And I mean, I may have smacked his behind a few times, but never, never anything with a belt or anything like that. And anyway, and the guy who, the football player who beat his four-year-old son, the man should be prosecuted for, assault, okay? Ray, as bad as the thing with Ray Rice, his wife was in the process of attacking him when he hit her one time. He didn't pummel her multiple times. He just hit her once. She went down, okay? And it was a bad thing. I agree. However, he didn't wail on her repeatedly or anything like that. I mean, if anybody saw the tape, you know, can see he only hit her the one time, and, you know, which was plenty, and it was still wrong. He should have restrained her when he attacked, when she came after him, and he didn't. He hit her, okay?
All right.
And, but, you know, and...
All right, well, I appreciate it. Wayne, you've laid out some really important things here, and let me, unless you all want to comment, jump right in, I'm going to go one more caller, and then...
Let's do one more caller.
And we can just comment on them all. Please join us here with your thoughts at 410-319-8888. Deborah Ricks, you're on the air.
Hi, it is so good to that you're talking about this, Mark. I had such strong feelings about this because I just can't see how beating a four-year-old boy is not child abuse. I can't see it. He was bleeding. I am one that was beaten. I was beaten as a child. And I witnessed my brothers, particularly, being beaten with extension cords and switches, and sometimes they had to take their clothes off, and it was horrifying. And they did not turn out so well. I see this as a carryover from slavery. I couldn't help but think about the situation, the movie 12 Years a Slave, when Patsy was beaten. This is the same thing to me. And I would love for black people and any white folks, too, that are doing the same thing to reconsider, just to think about other ways to discipline your children, because I cannot see this being love. There's no way you tell me that a grown man or woman that will take an object, and beat their child till that child is bleeding, that's a demonstration of love. And so I just ask that people reconsider this, because I know I've talked to people. I was just talking to someone this morning as I was walking around the lake about this very incident with Adrian Peterson. And I just come strongly down against it. And I hope that we would reconsider, because I don't think that children turn out as well. Because as Dr. Whitehead said, I struggle with self-esteem issues. It did not feel like love. And when parents say it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you, that is not true. Okay? So I'm just, there's child abuse. This is a baby. He was 4 years old. And I remember I disciplined my child one time by spanking her. And there is a distinction, by the way, between spanking and whipping. Spanking is if you use your hand and you hit their bottom. That's spanking to me. And not that I'm for that, but that is distinct. That's just a difference. There's a huge difference. But when you get an object and you beat your child until their skin is torn and bloody, now you have committed a crime. And that is assault and battery. Mm. And I hate the idea that so many of black men who are in, you know, that's in the media around this, but violence is violence. And I just say, let's find another way to discipline our children.
Good.
Deborah, thanks so much. It's always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for raising these issues. We're going to let our panel wrestle with some of this. We can come back. Bryce and the others, we're going to get your calls as well at 410-319-8888 as we're wrestling with this world of corporal punishment, spanking, what's child abuse, what isn't, what is rearing our children. 410-319-8888. We'll be right back. Come back here. That's the voice of the great Maria Callas, who died on this day in 1977, singing the Bell Song, one of our great operatic singers. We remember her on this day in history, who passed away on this day in 1977. We're back here with our panel, Dr. Lester Spence, Dr. Lawrence Brown, and Dr. K.Y. Whitehead. And you, 410-319-8888 is number here. You can write to us here at talkatsteinershow.org. You can log on to our Facebook pages. Please tweet me at Mark Steiner. I got to find those tweets and get them read to you, 410-319-8888. But before we go back to Bryce and Fatima and other callers who are calling in, Let me get your thoughts on what you just heard. I think, Lesser.
Really quickly, the first caller intimated that we all experienced abuse. That is, he said when he was on the call, I too experienced abuse. I never said I was abused. I was spanked as a child by my mom, by my dad, by my grandparents. I don't think that was abuse. I never experienced the other brother on the panel. Experience says he experiences a number of problems that he associates with being spanked as a child. I was spanked and whooped as a kid, and I don't experience any of those things. That's not to suggest that corporal punishment is a good parenting strategy. I'm just suggesting that it's far more complicated than us taking our personal experience and using that to figure out what parents as a whole should do. And quickly along those same lines, Deborah makes a distinction between spanking and kind of whooping. The challenge there is that our discussion, corporal punishment is corporal punishment, right? So that's one of the challenges. If we take we're taking the Adrian Peterson case as emblematic as the norm for what's really a range of practices that go from just giving somebody a swat on the bottom to using an extension cord. We shouldn't necessarily think of those things as the same.
I do think that, you know, there's a difference when we look at the data. The data do talk about, again, delayed brain development for children who are spanked. It talks about a reduction in sensory perception, a reduction in speech, muscular control, emotions, and memory. It talks about there being less gray matter, less neuron connections in the brain for children who are abused and spanked heavily. So I think there is a connection in the research that suggests that violence to children in this form has a real and measurable effect. And then the data also, as a social scientist, I look at this as well. When I looked at the data in one of the articles that I've been reading, Americans' Opinions on Spanking Vary by Race, Party, and Region, African-Americans have a higher agreement that spanking is acceptable. Looking at domestic violence, that happens more in the African-American community. So I think looking across the data, I'm in agreement with the caller, Deborah, that indeed we can take some of these incidents where violence is higher in the Black community, and I do think we can connect that to slavery. What is the connection? I believe there's a theory called mass trauma experience,
yes,
where communities that experience everything from segregation to violence to economic destruction to cultural dispossession, they in having this mass traumatic experience often then go and reproduce violence and other forms of antisocial behavior within their own communities. And that's not just with African Americans. You look at Native Americans, suicide rate is higher, alcoholism is higher. Mm-hmm. Violence is higher as well. But it's what happens when our communities, Native Americans and African Americans, have been imposed upon. We've been affected by years and years of colonialism and enslavement, Jim Crow, police brutality, lynchings. The violence that's been imposed on us inevitably has incurred and increased the amount of violence that we enact and interact with as it relates to our interpersonal relationships with each other. And I think that's a component that we have to deal with. A lot of the Black writers called it post-traumatic slave syndrome or post-traumatic slave disorder. There are things that we have yet to deal with in our own communities. And I would submit that it's not just affecting our community, but even white communities in the South, where, again, the data show that spanking is higher in the South, where slavery was practiced, that even seeing their own ancestors practice whipping and spankings and beatings is also a part of the reason why it's higher there as well.
My two comments. One is that the study that you're referring to doesn't really break it up in terms of class, which I'd like to see. You know, there's a lot of talk about parents that are middle and upper class spanking their children less than parents that are coming from low-income communities. And what is the connection between poverty and this trauma or this violence in the home? And I also want to submit that we are not the only culture that spanks our children. This happens across the planet in different
across the planet.
So when you talk about post-traumatic slave disorder, I think we do have a lot of situation of PTSD, but this violence that's meted out against our children. And I think that there is a range, even though I know that the other guest perhaps does not agree. I think there's a range between deciding to get a switch, going and get, in my opinion, a weapon, because that does bring up images of slavery, not just from 12 Years a Slave. Go back to roots. Your name is going to be Toby, not Kunta, up against the wall. You know, the lighter the switch, the deeper the welt, versus popping a child on his bottom. I do think there's a difference. And I think that when you start talking about parenting, the reason why people begin with, oh, I was spanked with the child, or I wasn't spanked with the child, because you use those experiences to then decide how you're going to parent your children. I encourage people to think about that, that parenting your children should be a conscious act. You are making decisions every day about how to love them and how to raise them and how to discipline them.
Let me try to go to the phones here and get a couple more comments. I'm going to throw out a question to you all. Where we're going with this. RA scientist tweeted in, true story, 4-year-old niece drove car 2 times. First time discussion, second time spanking. No more driving, QED, good use of spanking. So let's go to the phones of 410-319-8888. And Fatima, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey.
Well, I just wanted to bring another aspect to this topic. I was not spanked as a child, and I have 2 sons that I'm raising on my own, and I spanked them. So the whole story, well, I was raised and brought up that way, so I spanked or I didn't spank because of those experiences. I guess it kind of doesn't apply to me because I didn't get a spanking. I remember my dad taking my younger brother upstairs and pretending to beat him by slapping the belt on the bed to appease my mother, but they're like up there laughing and giggling, and you can hear them like, like wailing, but he wasn't really being spanked because my dad didn't believe in spanking. But with my sons, I did spank them, and I tried to be reasonable with the way that I did it. But when you become a parent, I think for me, you always hear, well, there's no book on being a parent, you just really do it. And I kind of stuck to that, even though there's tons of books that are written, right? But I didn't kind of have that planned option, so I did what I thought was best. And looking back now, 10 years later, 11 years later, thinking, you know, should I have done as much thinking as I did? I look and I say no. And that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do because it becomes a direct judge. You as a person or you as a parent, and you would never want to put yourself in a position where you become defensive on decisions about decisions that you made in respect to how you raise your child. It's hard to take a look in the mirror and, you know, hindsight is 20/20 and say, well, that might not have been the best practice. You want to stand by your decision, right? And I think that a lot of people do that. I think that if you do look at the research and you do read and you are a parent and you did it in the past, it's harder to say, oh, I was wrong, because then that's like a judgment of your parenting abilities. That's saying you're a bad parent, and it's not. Every parent does the best that they can do, you know, and every parent does what they think is right. Now, how right or how wrong, or if you judge one to another, that's a harder, you know, kind of distinguishing factor to take into consideration. So when a parent beats their child, it's not because they're trying to be a bad parent. They think they're being a good parent. And some people are affected more than others. My thing was, am I spanking my child? Are they being disciplined or are they being broken? Am I breaking their spirit by beating them? And that's more dependent on your child. Some children are, you know, they have really, really strong spirits. So a spanking meant nothing to them. It was like, oh, yeah, I did this and I got a spanking. And ha, 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 it's funny now. Do you remember that time? And then you hear other people's stories and it was a very traumatic experience. So to make a broad kind of conviction for all, or to say across the board it's totally wrong to do it, that's why systems don't work. And that's why it's bad in any system, in any type of judgment call, when people fall through the system. Because I was in the system for spanking my child. I went to court, had an assault charge, and I think that it was completely preposterous. But broad decision and put these standards and outlines for things that have so many varying factors.
Interesting. I think that, I mean, this raises a lot of issues. I think that you know, when you look at the arc of history and what has become acceptable and not acceptable in history, and I'm not equating these things, but I think they're interesting dynamics. You know, slavery was accepted in most societies, different forms. I'm not talking about the difference between slavery here in America and around the world. I'm talking about the difference that slavery was acceptable in many societies across the globe. It's no longer acceptable. It still exists, but no longer acceptable. Beating your woman, beating a woman, keeping women in line was acceptable
at one point
for thousands of years in many cultures in our world, and as was corporal punishment and spanking. There's some of the stats you were talking about, Lawrence, that it's at spanking since like 1980s to now, it's become, was like from 84% of the people thought it was acceptable. It's gone down to maybe 71% of people think it's acceptable. And the gap is there, which you talk about with born-again Christians, evangelicals who fundamentalists believe in that spanking, even though it's gone down there, it's still around 80%. It's gone down with other religious groups. There's other kinds of gaps, the South versus the Northeast. Political gaps, Republicans spank their children at almost over 80%, where Democrats are like at 65%. So whatever that number is, I'm not saying. So I'm just saying there, clearly right now society is wrestling with, what does it mean to raise your children,
right,
and how do you raise your children, and what's acceptable in terms of behavior? You know, going from Dr. Spock, who in the 1950s became popular with the white middle class parents, to where we are now. So this is a really serious question. I mean, and people can argue about what happened with Adrian Peterson as abuse. Clearly, he's been indicted, and I think that people can make the argument that this was child abuse and that you should not hit anyone like that, child or adult. So I mean, let's wrestle with where we think we're going. What does this conversation mean, and why are we having it?
I definitely agree with everything you're saying, particularly when we look at the long arc of history. Things that were previously acceptable in our society, we've grown and we continue to grow. I think before the show started, we were talking about the Dr. King quote about, you know, how the arc is moving, and it's moving and bending towards justice, and it's just taken a long time to get there. But that we as a society must wrestle with these issues. I think moving it away from Adrian Peterson and what happened, because he was indicted. You're talking about putting leaves in the mouth of a child, like, that's just a different issue. But wrestling with this idea, how do we raise happy, healthy, and whole children? How do we do that? I want to add something that the caller just said. I want to respond, where she talked about how she was in the court system and that she had to question herself, did what I do was wrong? I want to urge her and any parent, when you realize that you have done something wrong, an apology can go a long way in helping to heal people. I think one of the best things and most healing things that I did is I actually wrote my father a letter when I was in college, talking about the things I'm talking today, wanting some answers to questions I had about some of the ways in which he disciplined me. And I remember he responded by letter, and then he flew out to where I was in graduate school to talk to me about it. And so, you know, I did the best that I could. I did what I thought was right. And I am sorry that you're wrestling with this. I have a wonderful relationship with my father. That one step of, you know what, I recognize it was wrong, and I'm sorry. I just did the best that I could do.
That's very positive, powerful, and rare. If our parents do the best they can do, it's not, and I think that's
not perfect, but the best that they can do.
That's without my parents, not in physical violence, but in other ways.
Yeah.
And then quick thoughts from you, so then just go back to phones here.
You know, I do think that what we've seen in the media here recently, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, even Mike Brown, Eric Garner, I think the question of black masculinity is one that internally within the black community, black men have to figure out. We're going to have to get together and understand, what does black masculinity mean for us now? Mm-hmm. Are we going to continue on a path where we can be both demonized and we can participate in the abuse of our women and children? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to shift and change and transform black masculinity so that we can reduce the amount of demonization that we have, at least among each other, but to the degree that there's internalized racial oppression, and then work on changing these perceptions in larger society, and then also thinking about how do we handle our interpersonal relationships with women and children. I think for me, black masculinity is being called into question. Racism makes this topic very difficult because the reflex is to say that all of this is not our fault. But I do think the interpersonal relationships, that much of that is our fault. And we have to, I think, take responsibility for that. But I think that's going to be a challenging conversation to have.
Lester.
Real quick, I want to complicate what Lawrence has said in a couple of places. First, even though Adrian Peterson is the face, it's important to understand that what we're talking about with corporal punishment in children is not meted out solely by men. In fact, it's likely, given the large number of single parent households in black communities, that it's mostly meted out by women. Secondly, I want to talk about the most important social science article that I read suggested that there was only a 7% difference between people who experienced corporal punishment and people who did not, as far as being exhibiting symptoms of a wide range of mental ailments. What that says is basically if you had two groups of 100 people, seven more people in the other group may experience signs of depression. So if we're talking about social, it's important when we're talking about these effects to be really precise as far as the size of those effects, because that shapes how we think about these things from a policy standpoint. And then finally, I want to actually rail against this idea that either corporal punishment is a product of slavery or that black cultural choices are the product of kind of cultural dysfunction. I don't believe in that at all. I think I fight against that with every fiber of my being, just because I think there's this tendency for people, black people who love black people, to actually attribute way too much stuff to slavery when it could just be, like in this case, people just making tough decisions about how to raise their kid in a racist environment.
Well, I think, you know, the racist environment itself started with slavery. So I think that's the thing that I think we have to wrestle with. But I think to the point about, you know, having, you know, 7 out of 100 more depressed people, you know, shouldn't we fight to make sure that we have as few depressed people
Lawrence,
as possible?
Real quick, I'm sorry, real quick. The thing is that study doesn't control for a wide range of factors, right? So I don't know, for example, what contextual poverty, what's the effect of contextual poverty versus somebody getting spanked, right? So it's those type of nuances that we need more study before we just, for example, lump switching a kid to the point where he's bruised with spanking a kid.
No, right. I want to be clear that I'm not saying all spankings. I'm saying the whoopings, the beatings. I'm saying at that end of the spectrum, right?
Okay. Yeah. And I think that when we talk about, there's all kinds of things that get left out of studies that are in studies. I mean, when you hear as the sister's name, who I'm blocking on, but I'll make find the front page of the article, Christian West Savali wrote this interesting piece in The Root called "Why Some Black People Ignore the Negative Research on Spanking."
Right.
But one of the things she put in here was the old people in the neighborhood used to say the police department finishes raising other people's kids. Another way of saying if you don't raise your kids right, you lose them to the corner. Talking about studies showing what spanking does, they straightens kids out, people would argue, so they don't lead a bad life. The other part of that is, though, that if you did a study of people in prisons, and when I was running a therapy group in the state prison system in Maryland back in the 70s, all the men in that group talked about the beatings they received as children by their fathers or mothers because of infractions of whatever kind. So I think there's all kinds of ways to kind of look at whether or not it helps or doesn't help. The issue is it necessary in raising a child?
Right.
Well, here's the other thing. When we're talking about the difference between women and men whooping children, again, the concept of disproportionality, men are stronger, and we're prone, via testosterone, to exhibit more anger. And so I think the combination makes spanking or whooping, especially for men, and since I'm a black man, I'm very much concerned about the welfare of the black community, I think the question for black masculinity is, how do we handle whooping our children, given the context of masculinity in our society? Because masculinity is a construct of power, and we combine that with testosterone, I think you don't get a lot of results. That boy was whooped he had whoop marks on his scrotum. I hurt for the young boy.
Right.
You know, that's way too much. And I think that's what we have to wrestle with. I mean, football players are in an inherently violent environment to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I even question whether or not you can turn off, you can come out of these violent environments and turn off that switch right. when you enter your home.
Before you jump in, let me get a phone call here. 410-319-8888. William in the West Side, you're on the air.
Good morning to you and your guests.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I grew up in Guyana, South America, and I went swimming with my friends, and of course, can't swim. Alligator almost ate me, so when I got home, by the time I got home, my grandfather heard about it, and then he said, bring your saw, bring my saw. He brought a saw, and he was whipping me with a saw. But the funny thing is, it made more sound than it actually hurt. He was just kind of getting my attention. When my uncle came home, he was a prison guard. He was called a beat man in Guyana. And he had canes, which was bamboo and wild canes. And when he struck me, you know, you're supposed to bend over and he gives you six of the best. And it hit my scrotum and it bled, you know. So I wrote my mom. She was living in Aruba at the time. And within, I say, 2 weeks, we were gone. We moved to Aruba. So when she lost her job in Aruba, we moved to England. So when I got to England, you know, England was supposed to be a revered place, you know, respectful and everything. Went to school. Third day of school, kid came up to me and spat in my face, just like that. I was like, it was basically an all white school. I was like the fourth black person there. So I looked at it, I wiped it off, and I thought, this is unusual. I never experienced that in Aruba or Guyana. So I went home and spoke to my brother. He was about 5 years older. And he said, I said, this guy spat in my face. He said, what should you do? He said, next time you do, hit him in the face. So I went to my perch and I waited for the guy. I know he's gonna come. He came and before he could spit at me, I threw my fist out and he his mouth opened like, huh? He didn't expect it. My hand hit his mouth, cut my hand, blood all over his face. He runs to the runs back into the school. Of course, they come and they get me. And I explained yesterday he spat in my face and today he went to do the same thing and I hit him. They gave me six of the best. They put me to, yeah, and they didn't beat him. He spat in my face, but yet I got beaten. That's in England. They have a corporal system there, and it's kind of uneven in certain ways. So I think you should expand your research. You were talking about international. You should check some of the English records.
Right. William, I appreciate the call, and you're listening to the program. I think that's what we were saying. I think that spanking and corporal punishment are universal. I think that they have become, it was part of authoritarian systems around the globe and in Europe to discipline and keep people in line, mm-hmm. keep children in line. This is the way you were supposed to do it. And I think that there are people throughout the globe who are wrestling with, is there another way to raise our children other than to use any kind of physical violence against our kids? I think that, you know, so it's a very tough subject. I've said very little about any of it. I just really want to get everybody to talk about this. There's a thought I'll just throw out here. We can close with it. I can close with a quick thought. I said this before. When an Apache woman told me, a Hickory woman, about her children and about Apaches, I'll make it very short. She said, Apaches don't hit their children, traditionals, not the ones who've been Christianized or anything. Apaches are not traditionals. They don't hit their children because Apaches see children in the light of God, and you don't hit the light of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's in some traditional societies, indigenous societies, that's a fairly universal tradition.
Right.
I think it is time for us many to wrestle with, you know, where we go with this, and also to wrestle with questions of whether it's Adrian Peterson or Ray Rice or anybody else, black or white, or Judge Fuller who beat his wife in front of a white judge who beat his wife and is still sitting on the bench because no congressman has had the strength to indict him in Congress about whether he should still be sitting on the bench. We always wanted to say that the response to that should be putting people in prison. Maybe our society also should think about not just that. There are non-corporal responses to all this to try to build a society that's not so violent. I think that's something for us to think about as we move into this subject even more. And that's just my closing thought. And this has been a great discussion. I'm glad it was the three of you.
It's great.
Kate Whitehead was here with us in the studio. Remind you that At Enoch Pratt Library Central Branch in the Poe Room. Tomorrow evening, Dr. Carsona Weiss, Wise Whitehead, Kay Whitehead, will be presenting her book, Notes from a Colored Girl, The Civil War Pocket Diaries of Emily Frances Davis, at 6:30 p.m. this Wednesday evening. More information at prattlibrary.org. It's open to the public. Please go. It's a marvelous book. We're going to have her on soon to talk about it. It's
Thank you.
Incredible book, and I think that I've seen this book pop up in my travels. It's in the U.S. Park Service. It's put in all their locations. It's a
Very
wonderful
exciting.
Book and well researched. My dear friend, Dr. Lester Spence, thank you, brother, for being with us once again.
Well, thank you for having me.
Skype or in person, it's always good to have you with us. And Dr. Lawrence Brown, always a pleasure to have you in the studio as well.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you all so much for being here. We can take a brief break. And when we come back, it is time for Sound Bites. Yes, chickens are in the news again. Antibiotics, are they in? Are they out? What do? What they don't do? And we'll take a look at what's going on in Cherry Hill with the Urban Garden, which is a very interesting story, and our latest in foraging food and eating it in the month of September. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
To the dark and the empty skies. The first time.